Well, good morning, everyone. Let's make sure I'm fully turned on. Yes. And if you're a visitor, very warm welcome to you.
In the name of the Lord, my name is Dalton. I'm one of the members here at Little Hill Church, and I shall be leading the worship this morning. And a warm welcome to those of you online, and wherever you are in the country, in the quietness of your room or wherever, I give you a very warm welcome from our church here at Little Hill. Well, it's always good to read God's word, and it's always good to start with God's word. And we, in Ephesians chapter 4, we've got some lovely words there, words of encouragement, however we feel, words that inspires us how we should even treat one another. But it's day by day we need reminding, because we've got such a great God. So Ephesians 4, 25 to 32, as we prepare for worship. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And what an encouraging word this Lord's Day morning for all of us. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. How lovely, how encouraging. Well, let's praise God as we sing. If you're following from your hymn book, 672, otherwise it'll be up on the wall. O Lord my God, when I stand and gaze in wonder, and the vast heavens thy wisdom hath ordained, sun, moon, and stars, continue at thy pleasure from nothing call, and by thy power sustained. Some of you have been on holiday, some of you are anticipating holiday. Well, whether you're in the southwest or whether you're in Scotland, wherever you are, it's lovely to just thank God for all that he has done. Years ago, North Wales, at my peril, we used to stop off. Well, I used to stop off and just want to sing this song, How Great You Are, Lord, because we see the wonder of it all. Well, let's stand to sing this wonderful hymn.
Thank you.
come to that great God in prayer. Let us all pray. Lord, we marvel, we're amazed, we're lost in love, wonder, and praise indeed that this great God who has made heaven and earth, as we've often said, Lord, he bothers with people like us. Lord, how incredible that this God, this sovereign, eternal God, the one, Lord, who inhabits eternity, condescend and meet with people such as us. Lord, surely that's a miracle. We who were once far from you, we who had no time for you, Lord, and yet you sent your dear Son into the world, Christ Jesus, to die for sinful men and women. And no wonder as we will be reminded later on, do this in remembrance of me, because all the way to Calvary, Christ Jesus went for us. He went to the cross to seal our redemption, to pay the cost that we deserve, the punishment that we deserve. So we can say what he did on the cross, it was finished. It was final. Nothing more to be added. And we say, hallelujah, what a saviour for all that you have done. And Lord, we pray now that you'll be with us. We ask, Lord, as we often pray, please, Lord Jesus, take away anything, no matter how legitimate those things may be. Take away anything, dear Lord, that would stop us, that would distract us from hearing your voice. And Lord, we would cry out indeed, like that man of old, sir, we would see Jesus. Lord, we've not come to listen to a man. We've not come, Lord, for entertainment. We've not come, Lord, to just for self-gratification in any way, shape, sense, or whatever. We come to glorify our God. We come to worship you. And Lord, we pray that we will know that sense of your presence with us. And Lord, we would even cry out, oh, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh, Lord Jesus, on us. Lord, we suddenly realize how much we need you. Lord, the preacher feels so inadequate. Lord, help me. Help us, Lord. We feel, Lord, it's so fearful at times, even to stand here. But Lord, we just pray for your help. And as hearers, we pray that you'll give us receptive ears to listen. And Lord, obedient heart to obey your word and to obey what you want us to do. But Lord, we ask now, be with us. Help us, Lord, in all that we say and do. And we thank you, Lord, for any who have come in perhaps for the first time. Lord, may they feel the welcome of our friendship and our fellowship. And for those, Lord, who have come in perhaps feeling still very low, cast down, thank you, Lord, that we can say, even this morning, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Thank you for that. Thank you that we can know true peace this morning when we know peace with God. For the troubled soul, Lord, please, Lord Jesus, draw near. For the one who feels so anxious, feel, Lord, I can't cope. Lord, may they know this ever presence of Jesus that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Lord, sometimes we want to cling hold of these promises because these promises help us to go on each day. And we're able to say each day, Lord, when we know and love you, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Help us, Lord Jesus, to face tomorrow with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have our reading now, and Janet is going to come up and read for us John chapter 3.
The reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. This is the word of God.
Well, can I give you all a warm welcome once again if you're a visitor. It really is good to have you here with us. Can I encourage you, we've got refreshments afterwards, so do stay on. Don't rush off. We want to be able to say hello to you and have a little chat, so don't rush off. As part of the service as well, we've got communion, very much part of the service, and we invite those who know and love the Lord Jesus to stay behind. It is for Christians, if you know and love the Lord, but if you're not a Christian, you can stay and you can watch, allow the elements to pass by, but, you know, really, we don't want you to rush off, so do feel to stay if you're able to.
Not an awful lot of notices because we're still in the holiday period. Lots of folks are still on holiday, enjoying themselves. And some of you have just come back. Maybe you think, oh, I'm back, or whatever that feeling is. But welcome back if you've just come back. Can I encourage you this evening? I did say last week, you know, the main thing is for most of you to come this evening, not this morning, but there we are. Kenny is preaching this evening. So let's all, as many as able, to come and encourage him and support him as he preaches. So the services, I say this evening, but this afternoon, will be at 5:30. What else have we got? Well, we're hoping, can you believe it, we were able... We're hoping that to be able to be on the park this Wednesday. Do you know, the last few Wednesdays particularly, I've been saying, Lord, please just give me a bit of dry land between 7 o'clock and, say, 8:30. Please, Lord. And the last few weeks, it's been raining. But on Wednesday, we went out, me, Joanna and James, we went out and it was still sort of raining, but actually when we got here, it wasn't too bad. And then we got to the first part, the clouds were coming, and I thought, so I was, no, I wasn't going faster. I was, you know, I was going. And we got to the park, well, because it had been wet that afternoon, there wasn't really hardly anybody there, and we're about to leave. And then a car was just coming into the park at South Wigston. So it was great. We turned round and were able to speak to four people, and then it rained. So we thank the Lord for the fact that we're able to do a bit. So please, every Wednesday, everybody, please, between 7 till about 9 o'clock, I mean, pray anyway, but do pray for Part Life that we'll be able to go out. On Thursday, it will be mainly for prayer, and Paul Linnell will be taking that. And let's remember, Paul is away preaching today, that the Lord will be with him. Paul will be taking them mainly for prayer on Thursday. Next Sunday, Peter Harrison will be speaking. That's Josh's brother. And Josh will be back, because Josh will be preaching in the evening. I've just looked up and I saw a face. Vicky, good to see you. Didn't realise you were there. Praise the Lord. Great to see you. I had to do a double take. Good to have you with us. And what else are we going to say? I'm completely thrown now, Vicky. Baptism. Now, the elders have received a request for someone who wants to be baptized. If there are those here, if you know and love the Lord and you're not being baptized, well, it is a command of the Lord to be baptized. So do see, I was going to say one of the elders, well, Vicky is here. Do see Vakir or one of the elders when they get back from holiday. Even if it's something that you're just thinking about, you're not sure, well, have a word with them. But really, it's a command of the Lord, and it's important to be baptized, if I can encourage that. Now, I've got a note here that I've got to read carefully, because I'm told that occasionally I waffle on. And I don't know who says that, where is she? Okay, warm space is to do with warm space. Now, this is what it says. We are planning to meet up soon. That's a group, Warm Space. We're planning to meet up soon to talk about restarting in September. If anyone else would like to help with Warm Space, please let one of us know. One of us could be any of the team. There's Vakia, Margaret, me, Sarah. I don't want to miss names out. Andy, Rosie, now I've started, Chloe. Anyway, one of the teams, you know who you are, Joy and Barry. Just let one of the team know, and you can join our planning meeting. Okay, because what we've found since the work started, like a lot of the new works we've started, the Lord's blessed. You think of the Friday work that goes on there, Alison, the food, you know, that it's been a blessing. So if we can, if we're able to get more helpers, or if anyone wants to be part of it, do come and join our planning meeting. Have a word with one of those who are involved. We can increase the team and it will be really great. And it doesn't mean that you've got to come every single Thursday. I nearly said Wednesday. But, you know, it will help ease the burden. Not burden in the wrong sense of the word, but we are getting a good number. And folks are just coming in, they just want to chat. Some people don't want to talk, and that's great. So if you're able to, that'd be really good to have a word with one of us. What else is there? Let's remember all the beach missions going on. Lots of people out witnessing for the Lord, whether it be open air, beach missions, lots and lots going on. Let's remember those. Lots of our folks on well. You know them, they're known to the Lord, let's pray for them as well. So let's just commit all these things to the Lord in prayer. Let's all pray.
Thank you, Trevor.
Our children, would you come out, please? Right, who we got? Oh, God, Olive's coming as well. Hello, Olive. Now, today, we're going to think about spies. What are spies? People who go to another country? Right, well, they go to a different country, usually to find out, to get information, right? Well, God's people had got to the edge of the country he'd promised them, the promised land. And God said to Moses, I want you to send some spies. Send some of your people into the promised land to find out information, right? So, information, what would they need? Well, they wanted to know, is it a good land? Will they be able to grow lots of food there? What are the people like there? Do they live in big cities? Big fortresses? They had to find out as much information as they could. So, you're going to be spies. Round the room, there are different things. Now, God sent out 12 men. So, if we say you come back with 3 things each, yes? We'll let Olive go that way. All right? So, you boys, go on then. And go on, Olive, you see what you can find. Oh, and bring the blue tack as well on the back of them, because I don't have any more. Most important. Have you got about 3 each? Yeah, come on then. You come and stick yours up on here. Did you bring all the blue tack? Good. Stick it on then. Stick it on the back. Stick them up here. Go on. Just stick them on. That's it. That's it, Olive. You come and bring them up here. Good girl. Well done. You stick that on. Yes. And another one. And another one. And the last one. So, these 12 spies all went out. And they took 40 days. And then they came back. And then they reported back to Moses what they'd found. Now, some of them said the people there were really strong. They actually said they looked like giants. Now, I don't know if they were giants, but that's how they described them. They said they were so strong and fortified. And how many have we got that look like giants, that were really strong? Oh, I think we're missing one. You've missed one. Go on, you better find it. There's another one somewhere. Oh dear, where's it gone? I don't know. We did have another one. We got it? Oh dear. Oh well. All right, come on then, lads. Come on back. We'll have to do a bit of pretending, won't we? Eh? We'll have to pretend that there was 10, all right? I don't know what's happened to the other one. And they said, it's a good land. But the cities are really fortified, really strong, and the soldiers, they look like giants. But two of them said something different. One called Joshua and one called Caleb. They came back and they said, you know, this is some of the fruit from the land. And they brought back big bunches of grapes. They brought back things like figs and pomegranates and so on. They said, look how good it is. And they said, with God's help, we can take the land. Now, all the people heard them say this. Who do you think the people believed? Do you think they believed the 10? Or do you think they believed the 2? They believed the 10. And all the people started to get really worried. And they started to say, we can't take this land. We can't capture it. We're going to die if we try to take it. We need to go back to Egypt. They forgot how horrible it was in Egypt for them. And they got so worked up, they even decided to get some stones and to throw them at Moses until they would have killed him and Joshua and Caleb. But God showed he was in control. And suddenly, the place where they worshipped, called the tabernacle, it was like a big tent. God showed his presence there. And God said, no. People who've done this are going to be punished. And the spies that said this, because they didn't trust that God could help them take the land, they were to be punished. But all the people as well, they were going to have to spend a long time in the desert. Now, how long had the spies been in the land? Can you remember? I did say 40 days. So God said, you're going to spend 40 years in the desert because they didn't trust him. Now, when we sing the song that goes with this, let's have a look at it. I want you to tell me whether the words of this song are correct. 12 spies were sent to spy in Canaan. Was there 12? Yes, there were 12 spies. They went to Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. Is that right? Is that the right numbers? Did 10 of them say it was bad? Yeah. And 2 of them said things were good. So we've got 10 bad, 2 good. What did they see to spy into Canaan? Some saw giants, tough and tall. Is that right? Yes. They saw giants, tough and tall. Some saw grapes in clusters fall. And those ones saw that God was in it all and that God could give them the land. You know the actions for this one? This is the one where you get the fingers and thumbs move mixed up, don't you? 10 were bad, 2 were good. Yes? 10 were bad, 2 were good. 10 bad, 2 good. Yes? But we start with 12. All right.
Thank you.
Well, Trevor, I hope we find the other spy. We'll see. we're going to sing now 259 in the supplement, Purify My Heart. Last Thursday afternoon, I thought I'd finish preparing for this morning. And then later on that day, I recognised or realised it was communion today. And I felt that perhaps I just needed to change what I'd prepared. And that can be a preacher's nightmare sometimes, but it may be my fault, because I just felt that it's good to, the fact that it's communion. Communion is very much part of our service, and it's important that during even the message that we do refer to it. So John chapter 3 is where we're going to look, at John chapter 3. Yes, our text this morning is familiar. We all know it, but maybe we know it too well, and maybe that's a problem. Our text will be John chapter 3 and verse 16. I have preached on John chapter 3, verse 16 before, but never, never in the way that we're going to do it this morning, and certainly not with the points that I've got raised. So it's brand new to me, which meant a little longer in terms of preparing, but the Lord knows, and we have to trust him in all of this. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Pray for help. Pray that you'll be with us. And we pray, Lord God, that we will thank you again for all that you are and for all that you've done for us. Amen. Just to say, way of background, we know that the book of John was written by John, the brother of James. And we also know that James was one of the 12 disciples, as was John. He was distinguished and honorable. And right throughout John, it's important that we see that in chapter 1, because many of the people around, they didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Word, the Christ. And that's put so beautifully in chapter 1. If you read right through chapter 1, you have, it talks about the Word, how Christ came, and he came for a purpose. And right throughout that, you see that it confirms in chapter 1 the faith, the Christian faith, how Christ, the eternal Son of God, who comes, the true Messiah. And then right throughout that chapter, we see the preeminence of Christ lifted up as the Word of God. And in chapter 2, we find some of the first miracles that the Lord did. Certainly the first miracle, the miracle in Cana of Galilee, turning water into wine. And we also find in chapter 2, the first Passover that Jesus kept in Jerusalem in chapter 2. And we see in chapter 2 the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And it's important to, just to see some of these highlights before we go straight into it. Still in chapter 2, we not only was it that Jesus was going out with his disciples, it's important again in chapter 2 that we see how Jesus was ruthless with the money changers. We find in chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, God's house, they were not worshipping as they ought. And it's a reminder to all of us, isn't it, really, that whenever we come into God's house, there should be that sense of reverence. There should be that sense of awe. We shouldn't just come out of feeling great habit or whatever. There should always be a sense of awe because we're before Almighty God. And sometimes, you know, we could all, if we're not careful, could be, you know, watch it the way we come. And, you know, I'm not coming sort of having a go at anyone. But when we come, we ought to come with that reverence, shouldn't we? Not, it's not a chatting place of the marketplace. It's a place of reverence and awe as we come into God's presence. And we see clearly how the Lord in chapter 2 threw out the money changers. And then in chapter 3, we meet this man named Nicodemus. He comes almost out of nowhere. And Nicodemus was this great leader. He was a scholar. He was one of the leaders of the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin, well, that was a top Supreme Court. Now, we've got court people here. Who we got? We've got Vakir, we've got Tolu. Is that the top court in England? Vakir, Tolu, anybody else? The Supreme Court, we would say. Supreme Court, yeah, Vakir, they're both saying yeah. And this man here, Nicodemus, he was a member of that court. And suddenly, it would appear, we read here, this man, this high-ranking man, realized that there was something different about Jesus. So what did he do? He didn't want to come by himself whilst it was daylight. We all know what he did, don't we? He came to Jesus, and he came to Jesus by night. Why did he come by night? Probably because he didn't want to be seen by the others. And as he came to Jesus, we see in verse 2 of chapter 3, straight away, he acknowledged that Jesus was different. Look at verse 3. Look what he says. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, Master, Teacher. So straight away we could see he knew that there was something different about Jesus. And I wonder, how is it with us today? Do we see day by day that there's something different about our Saviour that we love, that we adore? The fact that our Saviour came all the way from the heights of glory, from the joy, the glory of being in heaven, and come down into time to save, to rescue people such as us. What a God we have. So such was it that when he came to Jesus, yes, he came and he used the word Rabbi, Master, Teacher. We know that you come from God. And it's interesting that the Hebrew word, actually, for Rabbi, it means my teacher or my master. Interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, Nicodemus, he was so high ranking that people would, in fear of him. And now he comes to Jesus and he's saying, my master, my teacher. Great humility. Now, we mustn't pass over these things quickly. You know, this man, he recognized that Jesus was different. And how are we? Do we see this? You know, we must see this greatness of our Jesus. Don't treat that if you're a Christian, we must We must thank God that we've been saved, and we must be full with great awe and wonder of our Saviour. Don't get used to it, people. Thank God for saving you. Thank God that, you know, you belong to him. And here was this man. He wanted to know more. So he came by night. And he addressed Jesus in a really solemn way. Really, again, it's worth looking at verse 2 again. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. No ordinary teacher. A teacher from, couldn't hear it, from God. No ordinary, from God. And that's enough to make, should make us all sit up. Certainly made him, you know, recognize that. A teacher that comes from God. And then we find right throughout this long discourse of questioning and asking Jesus lots and lots of questions. And really, in the light of communion as well, Jesus was saying, you must be born again. There must be something different. And he couldn't understand that. What? How can I go back into a mother's womb? How can we be born again? So in the end, the Lord continued. How are we doing? Okay, thank you. So the Lord continued, you must be born again. And right throughout that, then Jesus reminds Nicodemus. And we're now going to look in, as we come to verse 16, these tremendous words. And if you're following, and I don't want you looking at your, I don't want you looking at your clock, but we're going to look at verse 16, and we're going to look at six things from verse 16 that we can learn. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And the six things we're going to look at, I want you to notice in this verse, number one, the passion of God's love. The passion of God's love towards us. Again, the table. Where do we see that? In here. And I didn't bring the visual aid I was going to bring, but I want you to notice the word so. For God so loved the world. And the visual aid that I was going to bring, maybe some of you might say, just as well you didn't bring it. I was going to bring a mango. And I was going to bring a pineapple. And I was going to say to you, do you know what? I love pineapple. I do. Occasionally I get one drop off. Not had one from over for a while. Anyway, occasionally I love pineapple. But I was going to say, I so love mango. I do. I'll do anything to get a mango. Now, it's a feeble, inadequate illustration. But the fact is, there is something that was so love. I so love my children dearly. Yeah, I love my wife, but I so love my children. And you could think of all the so love, but Jesus here, he says here, for God so loved the world. See the intensity of the word so. So love you. It's intense. We must see that. We must glory in that. We must thank God for such love towards us, who actually are so undeserving. So the intensity of God's love. And God, the Lord Jesus, was making this clear. Yes, even to Nicodemus, and even to us. The passion of his love towards us, who's undeserving. But then secondly, yes, still in this verse, I want you to notice, secondly, the perimeter of God's love. I want you to look at that. Can someone tell me the two words in that verse that tells us the perimeter of God's love? The world, thank you. The world. And you can see by that, it's not just, well, just God just so loved. Well, I think he loved that person. I'm not sure about that. It's spread. Think of the world. Friends of ours gone to Tasmania on Saturday. I believe it's a long flight. Same for Australia. In fact, the flight's so long, I can't even think of being in an aeroplane for that long. It frightens me. But it's a long way, and you get there's thousands and millions of people all around. And this gospel, this verse, reminds us of the immensity of God's love. Yes, towards a world that's undeserving. Towards a world that actually, why should God bother? Why should he bother with you and with me? We don't deserve it, do we? I nearly said, put your hand up if you think you deserve it. None of us will put our hands up. In fact, we'll go right low. Because we don't deserve his love. Oh, the perimeter of it is wonderful. And because it's so huge, surely we should be people who are incredibly thankful to God every single day. And maybe from this morning, you'll see this verse differently. And that's my prayer. I've never preached on it quite in this way before. And it's been, I still can't get my head around it. It's too big for me. Because it's enormous. So the passion of God's love, the perimeter of God's love. And then the third thing I want you to notice is the proof of God's love. What did he do? Tell me, what did he do? What's the two words in there we want? He gave, he gave, he gave. We see here the proof of his love. He gave Jesus. And even this morning, please don't think, well, it's a gospel message, we've heard it all before. Rejoice. This is why, again, I keep saying, and I will keep saying till the day I die, do this in remembrance of me. The communion is not a tag-on to our service. It's an integral part of our service. I know I'm repeating myself. It's important. What God did for you and me, people, we should be rejoicing every single day, really. Because if we think of the consequences that we all deserve, eternal separation from God for all eternity, how can we not want to thank him and rejoice in him as we see the passion, the perimeter, and the proof of his love? He gave. How many sons did he have? One. He gave one. His only son. Now, some of you, we can get precious about things, can't we? Especially if we only got one. You know, and someone asking us for, you know, something that, it could be food, it could be money, it could be whatever. You know what I mean. But we're talking about God now. He gave his only son. All the way to Calvary. He went for you and me. Such love. Oh, the proof of his love. But then, not only was it that he gave, I told you there's not going to be long points. We have the fourth thing here in the verse. We see the price of God's love. And it's almost similar to the last point in one sense. So, what's the price? I want two words in that verse that tells us the price. Well, actually, three words in that verse. Fine. Sorry? His only son. And that's a price, isn't it? His only son, Jesus. For you, for me. How many times have we read John 3:16? 200 times, 300 times, can anybody tell me? I mean, well, we don't know, do we? We've read it so many times. How long we've been a Christian? Who's been a Christian? Oh, maybe you won't want to say, over 30, 40 years. Yeah? 50 years. Some people, okay, some may not want to put their hand up, but for a long time. For a long time. And it means we've read this verse time and time and time again. And we're not having a go at folks, but the preciousness of it. Isn't it wonderful? Let's see it in the light of this now. So the price of his love is only son. And we put it up there. We think of Abraham. Remember in the Old Testament with Abraham. What did the Lord say to Abraham? Abraham, I want you to offer up your son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. And actually, ultimately, that was a type because that ultimately pointed towards Christ, ultimately. I want you to offer up your son as a sacrifice. And in that in Genesis, I think it's chapter 12. Is it chapter 12? I've got 22 in my head, but I think it's chapter 12. Yes, yeah, someone find Genesis, is it chapter 12? Where the Lord is saying, this is what I want you to do. But he didn't want to do it in one sense. 22, thank you. Well, let's just turn to it. We'll just turn to it for a moment. Genesis 22. Can you hope you got it right? Genesis 22. We see here, and it's worth us taking a few minutes and look at it. Start from verse 1. I've got the large print, so page 29. Verse 1. After these things, God tested. It's important we see the word tested there. Not tempted, tested. Verse 1. And after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. And it's almost as if the Lord is rubbing it in almost. We say reverently, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I will tell you. What a command. You know, when you read it now, coldly, it looks, you can't take it in. You think, you know, I remember when our first son was born and we rejoiced and, you know, I was so afraid. I didn't want to cuddle him. He was so young because I was fearing I might drop him. You know, that was our only son. And you think when you're first born, precious. And then others, God blessed you with others and they became equally precious. But what a command God gave this man. Well, we read verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey and so on. We know the story. And he obeyed God. And ultimately, we know what happened. He was ready. His son laid on the altar, ready to offer him. And a ram caught in the thicket. There was a ram. And again, we say, ultimately, it pointed towards Christ. But I say, from Abraham's point of view, humanly, it was a big thing for him. He didn't, in one sense, he felt it. Lord, what are you doing to me? It was his only son. And do you know what? There are times in our lives when God wants us to give up our only treasure, whatever that might be. Are we willing to give things up for God? How far will you go for God? Really, how far? Not that we can work up our way there or work up our own salvation. What will you do for God differently? And maybe sometimes we all need to launch out in the deep and trust God. Because sometimes we can hold back, can't we? Why? Because we think, Lord, I don't know whether I can really do all that. You know, trust God. You know, it's not enough really, is it? We just read it here when we evangelical nods. But when we come to it, we're not doing it. No, I'm not being, you know, we've got to really mean it and do it. Because we've got to trust God all the way. It's no good just trusting him here. But when we get out there, it's different. Oh, the price of God's love. His only son. You're not looking at your watch. No, great. The fifth thing. The protection by God's love. Now, it mentions a protection by God's love. What's three words? Yes, what three words we can find in there? Thank you. Should not perish. Should not perish. The protection of God's love. We've already said what we deserve, haven't we? Eternal separation. But we've got this incredible protection by this sovereign, almighty God who deserved to say, if God had said, you all deserve to be separated for all eternity. You all deserve to go to hell. That really, you know, let's be straight. That's what we all deserve. It's not Dalton King trying to be unkind. All of us deserve to be separated for all eternity and go to hell. But God so loved us that he sent Jesus. Can we not rejoice and say, hallelujah, what a saviour. Hey, wonderful. What a saviour. Should not perish. He didn't want you to perish. but to believe. Are you believing this morning? Is there someone here who's not a Christian? What is stopping you from giving your life to Jesus? Don't give your life to the world and burn your life out in the world. Burn your life out for Jesus. That's what really counts. Yeah? For Jesus. Amen. Oh, should not perish. The protection of God's love. And do you know what? We can know the protection of God's love daily, in a sense. His common grace, His grace. Sometimes we think guardian angels. The other week I was on the motorway. Other than seeing this in films, or they've got the stories on TV sometimes, how the police, you know, driving the car really fast to stop a criminal. There I was on the motorway. I was doing about 60, could have been 70. Anyway, there I was. And you know what? I've never ever seen this. Suddenly, there's a car. Good job I was in the sort of third lane, as it were, the slower lane. But suddenly, there's a car just veered fast, must have been going about 80, 90 miles an hour, in front of me, and just carried on and just went to the slip road. And as he did that, another police car was following on behind. What do I do? Slow down, and took my foot off the accelerator. And there wouldn't have been a crash. Well, there could have been. At the time, I thought, Lord, guardian angels, because this guy who suddenly just, you know, careered in front of me, who just, you know, literally cut me up so that he can get off on a side lane, it could have been such a big accident. So all those times, we have to say, guardian angels. We've been looked after, aren't we, people? We rejoice. We rejoice. God's love. God's protection. And then, the final point we've got, we see the provision of God's love. And what a provision this is. What's a provision? Two words. I want someone to tell me. Two words in there. Eternal life. Right, indeed. Have eternal life. But eternal life. Yes, you've got to get my have in. Yeah? Have eternal life. Did I say two? I said two words, didn't I? It's three there. Thank you. Have eternal life. And that's God's provision for us. For the believer, if we put our faith and trust in Him, what a provision made out for us. Are you not rejoicing this morning? This great provision, this great God. We've already said what we deserve, and yet He loves us because He loves us. That's it. Nothing else. You know, sometimes some people might love you because they're trying to get as much as they can out of you or whatever. Our God is not like that. Actually, none of us deserve His love. His love is unconditional. Not based on our colour of our skin, our status, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're black or white or whatever. What a God. What a God. May the Lord help me, help us all to take this in, because it's phenomenal. And because of all of this, because of all that's happened, this is why Jesus went and He died. Where did He die? On the cross. That's why I got the cross. Without the cross, Him dying on the cross for us, the perfect sacrifice, without sin, Him dying on the cross, and in dying on the cross we say, praise God, He didn't stay there, did He? He didn't stay dead, did He? No, no. He what? He rose again. So we can say He is risen because of what He's done. He's got power over death. And, you know, we go on the streets and others, we hear people talk about other faith and other gods. Say to my neighbour, my neighbour, lovely Muslim guy, great. Couldn't have wished for a better neighbour, great. He loves to talk about the Lord Jesus and His faith. And we've got a thing going. I'm trying to get him here. He's trying to get me to the mosque. So I said, you come here first and I'll come to the mosque. Anyway, there we are. We'll see. But, you know, we talk about what will happen when you die. And he doesn't know. Talk about some other stuff that might happen. And I said, I know where I'm going. Not because of me, but because of what Christ Jesus has done for me. I'm serving someone who's alive, a risen Saviour. And this is why we get excited. And this is why, again, I say these words that I've repeated so often. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'll help us now to treasure you for all that you are and for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing our next hymn. Sarah, you tell us there's something we need to be aware of. What do we need to be aware of? Oh yeah, your voice is gone. Answer. She says, a heads up, there are two bars of music before the verses. Is that before? I can't read your writing, love. Oh, between the verses. Thank you. Two bar of music between the verses. If you still don't know what that means, we'll see how we go. There'll be a brief pause just before we're going to communion. Please do stay behind if you're able to, even if you're not a Christian, just watch what's going on. And for those of us who know and love the Lord, it's a time of rejoicing for what he has done for us. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'll be with us. We thank you for this amazing verse that we've looked at. Speak, Lord, to us, whatever our need, and may we glory more in the God of our salvation. Amen.